This is Coming Upon the Bluegrass by Gordon Ortiz Spots of Northrop Center. Between locks 12 and 10, the Kentucky River threads three distinct geographical regions, the Cumberland Plateau, the Knobs, and the Bluegrass, with the Pottsville Escarpment cutting through at a southwest to northeast angle. But these different regions don't announce themselves. From the surface of the river, they seem to dance and mingle. A knob to the north, rolling savanna to the south, a long, narrow ridge appearing in the next bend, followed by tree-lined pasture bottomland, and so on and so forth. Each new bend seemed to offer a new type of terrain. The river has autonomy. The land to either side just seems to form and reform its identity like a deep green condensation. And in the condensation, we glimpsed the acts of man played out in theater of the absurd. Case in point, the Southeast Coal Company's processing operation above Covered Rock near the hamlet of Callaway Crossing. Northrop and I cleared the ever so slight mile-long dogleg bend downstream from White Oak Creek, and between the four of our nearsighted eyes spied the general in riverine stasis, his tie-dye colored, old town cloaked, muddy by the intensity of his concentration, his gaze fixed on what appeared to us a half mile upstream behind him to be the leading ledge of Covered Rock.
What the hell is that thing?
The general seemed to ask the sky.
It's shitting yellow water into the river.
Serves him right. Don't serve that worry mom right. Mighty man not up to the cold. Cave ain't turn out the light. Upper big branch dudes. Shoot a page, your upper big branch dude. Mighty man cross the picket line.
Dear Gordimer, return is your wonderful manuscript, The Phantom Map, with some minor gum revisions in thick red ink. You may be interested in the story behind the demise of the great Southeast Coal Company that you mentioned as passing nearby Cupboards Rock. The company was incorporated in 1915 when Harry LaViers, an immigrant from Wales, secured the mineral rights needed to organize 5 coal camps. The most well-known of these, apparently still generally intact, is located at SECO, or Southeast Coal Company Operation 1, on the banks of Boone Fork, a tributary of the Kentucky River's North Fork, and not far from Whitesburg in Letcher County. Southeast Coal remained a family business. Henry's son, Harry LaViers, was a particularly hands-on boss. In the late 70s, one report relates, as retaliation against his workers' attempts to better their working conditions, Harry got into trouble for, quote, running down a picket line with a coal truck. The LaViers family interest in the health of their workers continued into the 1990s, when on October 12, 1992, Harry filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. This act authorized Southeast Coal to pay its creditors, banks and individual investors, by selling off its assets, free and clear of any and all liabilities whatsoever, including but not limited to any successor liability for claims for benefits under the Federal Black Lung Benefits Act or the Kentucky Workers' Compensation Act. This last statement was important to DLX Inc., the company which shelled out $5.75 million, paid out in lump sums to several creditors, for Southeast Coal's preparation plant at Irvin, its Lexington office, its mine, and all other real property, inventory, equipment, and other intangibles necessary to keep coal production profitably engaged. Yet while DLX bought the land and operations, they were not beholden to the purchase of Southeast Coal's labor history. In the case of the United Mine Workers of America v. Southeast Coal Company, Inc., DLX, Inc., and NUCO, Inc., this interpretation translated into a $707,315.06 savings, or the amount DLX did not have to pay into a required pension fund for former miners working on the site. To be sure, I can't say for sure if the site we passed on the Kentucky was the same Southeast Coal Company quarters. The tipple, acidic water, and markings on the barge map lead me to believe that what we passed was what the mine workers' lawsuit referred to as the preparation plant at Irvin. I should look closer at it. Thinking back on our last trip, I recall my revulsion at passing the bend around Cupboards Rock. The orange rock banks, scalded and utterly lacking life, brought to mind that iconic image of Rick Hanshew and Steve Beshear in Floyd County, their backs to the camera, staring at a settling pond nearby Rick's home, the water reflecting back orange and clear. At Cupboards Bend, slack watering past bankrupt Southeast Coal's orange leaky rocks, I got a better sense of what Rick and the governor were looking at. Death. I wasn't just revolted, I was also pissed. Earlier that afternoon, while surveying our Kentucky River barge map, I had made a mental note to drop a line around Cupboard, tether up to the boat, ease into the water, and get started on a river rat kind of day. Those plans, along with any notions of fishing for the next bend and a half, were snuffed out. Southeast Coal now has the distinction of being the second coal plant to fuck up my summer plans for a quick dash of Kentucky bathing. At any rate, thanks for sending over your piece. It was a most delightful read and nice treasure of an even more fantastical weekend. Take it easy, but take it, Rupp.
Upper Big Branch dues. You should have paid your Upper Big Branch dues. Mining man cross a picket line. Cave in, turn out the light.